3D printing has caught on more and more in recent years, both on the hobby and the industrial manufacturing ends of the market. At VSB, the Technical University of Ostrava, students can get a close-up look and experience in 3D printing, both in polymers and in metal. I spoke to the university's Petr Štefek. He's the Vice Rector for Commercialization and Cooperation with Industry, asking him about work conducted at the school's Innovation Support Center, as well as the benefits of selective laser melting, or SLM.
It's like industry standard used in automotive or medical or aerospace industry. And SLM, or selective laser sintering technology, proven to be very good and very fast tool for rapid prototyping. Let's say if you are using the conventional manufacturing methods for prototyping, it costs a lot of money because firstly you need to create casting molds and then wait for foundry for casting and other things. And it takes a lot of time to create a small part. And if you decided to use 3D printing, you get a lot of advantages. Let's say if you need to create some small parts for your end user product, you will get it on the table in a few days. If you use the conventional methods, it will take, let's say, 1 or 2 months. So for me, the biggest example is speed of development process.
That is certainly a very marked difference, a few days and a few months. I suppose also that you can make modifications more quickly as well, especially if you're dealing with a prototype part. You can still modify the design in the computer if you find something is off, whereas if you have a mold which was made specifically to cast it, you have to make a completely different mold. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. So if you are not convinced with the design of your part, you can recreate the design and have brand new prototype on your desk in a few days. Of course, it's not suitable only for prototyping. You can create small parts for end-user products in automotive industry or aerospace industry. For example, in aerospace industry, some of the companies in Czech Republic are using selective laser sintering on selective laser melting on the end-user parts for their products.
I was looking at some of the different pictures of the pieces. Is it true that when you're talking about a part that has to bear a certain load, that you're also at the same time talking about skimming weight? Because a lot of it were different kinds of grids or honeycombs where the metal would be reinforced, but then a lot of empty space in between.
Yeah, exactly. This is the second big advantage of the additive manufacturing, because you are able to use the special tools for, say, generative design or topology optimization. And as you said, you can get the part which is lightweight and it's used in aerospace industry. So if you need, if you want to save 30 or 40% of weight for one part which are used in 10 times or more times in the aircraft, you will get your reward with additive manufacturing. And nowadays you can find hundreds or even thousands of the parts in the latest generation of civil aircrafts. But mostly, it's definitely mostly in non-critical systems, so it's not used in engines or in other critical parts of the plane, but mostly in non-critical, like seats, like some parts from plastics and others.
It seems fairly commonplace already in industry. How long has it actually been that 3D printing in metal has become more commonplace in aerospace, in aircraft, as you said?
Good question. Actually, it took like 20 years, but I think that another 20 years it will take to, let's say, adopt the SLM or the future, maybe another future technology to be used in the most of the application in aerospace.
Is it also the case that, because we talked about the structure of the shape, that it's actually more precise and more effective in terms of the artificial intelligence in designing? Because I read that you put in the basic parameters in the design, but that it makes decisions itself based on how certain parts of, I guess, the honeycomb or the grid will look.
Yeah, that's true. But This is very special software applications, very expensive. We are using some of them on the university, but actually the processes you mentioned are commonly used right now only in the biggest companies in the world, like Airbus or Boeing.
Now tell me a little bit about the printers that you have at the university. Obviously, you cooperate closely with the private sector. I can't imagine it would be possible any other way.
Yeah, okay. We have two machines, one for selective laser mounting, you mentioned earlier, which is actually for prototyping metal alloys. We are printing from stainless steel or merging steel. The difference is that, for example, merging steel has much better hardness than stainless steel and is usable for tools and molds, for example. And the second machine is based on selective laser sintering technology and is dedicated for 3D printing of polymers, plastics. The plastics are usable for end-user products, so it's not only for prototyping, but also for small series of products or parts. Of course, it's pretty much the same story as with every manufacturing machine. When you are operating a SLM machine, there are some safety rules because, for example, metal alloys are toxic or some of them are very reactive with air. But more 3D printing machines, as we have, has a lot of safety circuits and the risk of accident is very, very small.
How exciting is it for students to use these machines, and to what degree do they actually use them when they're studying at the school?
Actually, our center has open access, so if you are a student of the Faculty of Mechanical Engineering and you are interested in additive manufacturing or 3D printing, then you have a big chance to learn something on real-world projects for private sector. So there is not special treatment for students. If you are enthusiastic, we will work with you. And if you are, let's say, interested in 3D printing, you can work for us in the future. But frankly speaking, there are only a small number of students who are interested in 3D printing right now. We don't know what is the reason, but still, it's very, very strange, you know, because now, for example, in Germany, there are a lot of centers on the universities, and they are full of students, and they are working on with the wind industry. But it's a different story here in Czech Republic. But I hope it will change in the future.
Perhaps it's just the calm before the storm.
Yeah, probably. I hope so. We are doing projects for private companies. Usually, students are involved as, let's say, a support. Great company here in Ostrava, it's called Invent Medical, and they are doing great job in prosthetics and other medical products for small children, helmets and other things, and they are built on the Industry 4.0 concept, and I think it's right now one of the most progressive companies here in Ostrava, even in Czech Republic.
That is good to hear. It sort of brings me up to the final part of the interview, how Industry 4.0 will transform basically the world as we know it, because we see that, of course, there are many positives. We talked about some of them with this kind of change, but there's also fears that come with it. There's fears of further automation and job losses.
Yeah. Think that this is the revolution. I think it's rather evolution. And 3D printing will certainly have big impact on modern design, but it's the same story as with automation and robotization. There will be probably impact on jobs in manufacturing industry, but on the other hand, emerging industries will certainly create a bunch of new opportunities for many people. So I think evolution, and 3D printing will not change the fundamental ways of manufacturing for the whole industry, at least not in the next 10 or 15 years. There will be huge impact on industry, no doubt about it, but we need to probably wait for future generations of 3D printing machines beyond current generation of selective laser melt, melt-ring 3D printers